Oh, hi, everyone. Future John here. While editing the episode, I realized I fucked up. I kept calling the song and music video the Mythic Crystal. It is, in fact, called the Mystic Crystal. So my apologies to all the Ninja Sex Party fans, to Ninja Sex Party themselves, Dan Avedon and Brian Wecht. If you are listening to this episode, my deepest apologies. And I am giving the biggest apology to Battles herself. You know, we had so much fun talking about this episode. She was on cloud 9+, being able to spread the good word of Ninja Sex Party. So my apologies. I wasn't able to make it sound cleanly if I were to edit it all out. So I decided to leave it in, except for in the intro. So please forgive me, everyone. Aha. Now on to the episode.
Life's but a song, so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a returning guest who this episode is for her. It's Battles, everyone!
It's me!
How are you, Battles?
I am so excited to talk about one of my favorite things.
And originally, I was thinking about having this as an April Fool's episode, but I was like, no, we're going to be very serious about this. Because we're here today to talk about the music video, our first music video episode, everyone. For...
To be fair, it is 12 minutes long.
It is 12 minutes long, yes. It's the music video for Ninja Sex Party's The Mystic Crystal. It was released in 2021. The screenplay,
quote unquote,
yeah, is written by Dan Avedon and Brian Wecht. Music and lyrics by Jim Roach, Dan Avedon, and Brian Wecht. Directed by India Swift. And according to IMDb, Danny Sexbang and Ninja Brian. Okay. Serious time.
You can do it. I faith.
And according to IMDb, Danny Sexbang and Ninja Brian are transported to another world to defeat the evil necromancer and save the princess.
As one does.
So, Battles.
Yes.
I'm actually actively putting on... I know you're listening.
My Danny Sexbang. Also, I have the sweatshirt. I know this is just an auditory thing.
Yeah.
But now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to talk. What an egregious omission from before.
So, I'm still a little upset at Dan for what he said about your cover of his cover of The Last Unicorn.
No, to be fair. I don't know his exact feelings on The Last Unicorn, because I, for those of you who need a little backstory, I contacted Dan to help me, through Cameo, to help me suss out the harmony lines to The Last Unicorns, because there were like six different layered vocals. He has near perfect pitch. He's very talented. And I just wasn't able to hear all those like really succinct harmony lines. So then afterwards, I was like, oh, when I'm done, can I send it to you? And will you listen? And he said yes. And then he's a very busy man. He's also doing Game Grumps and a million other things. Did not get back to me. And I was like, cool. Well, what if I just double down? And so I did a cover of 6969, which is honestly like kind of... So 6969 whopped, so the Mythic Crystal could run.
Yeah,
because they're both like just like epic, kind of like Rush-based songs.
So back to what I was saying, I'm a little, I know this story about him, a little upset, but yes. God
so
damn it.
He didn't love the 6969 cover. So
oh, he
that,
didn't like the
6969
cover.
Well, God, how did he put it? I was close. That's kind of like the gist of it.
But God damn it. I bought two of their albums.
Shut up. Oh my God. I'm spreading the ministry. I'm doing the thing.
So I bought Prophecy because of the Mythic Crystal, because it sounded like Rush. And I thought that was a me thing. I didn't realize that was them. And then I bought them. I'm not streaming them.
I gave
Ninja Sex Party money for this. And I bought Under the Covers, the first one. But I was looking into their discography with the other Under the Covers, and I'm surprised they haven't done the Neverending Story yet.
Yeah, his voice would sound glorious doing that. The Last Unicorn is like their first foray, but I think there's absolutely opportunity for more crossovers.
After watching the Mythic Crystal, that's when I started snowballing.
Right.
I was like, ooh, let's watch other videos. Ooh, their version of the Last Unicorn is on a whole covers album. Cool. I still prefer yours, by the way.
Danny, I'm sorry. Not that you will ever hear this.
I might be a little biased when I say that.
The thing, though,
is I prefer yours because of the acapella-ness of it. And
because I can't play instruments well.
And you did it by yourself. I know you had some help with audio, but like, I know you did it all yourself, and you are doing the layers and everything. So I like yours better.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
But the Mythic Crystal, this made me think specifically of Rush's 2112 album.
That's exactly what the direct reference is. So that is, that's something that's been kind of like famously said. And then 6969 is kind of like Fountain of Laments. So those two influences are, and Dan has famously said, like, he's a big prog rock guy. You can definitely make those direct comparisons.
Man, I understand. I understand you now with your love of them, because they are 80s rockers, but for today?
Yeah.
It sounds like.
And so Dan actually used to be in I don't know if they were directly in the same comedy group or like they ran in the same circles of musical comedy, like improv. With my friend Ryan, who's great, great voiceover guy. Shout out to Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, but so like he also has like obviously this really deep rooted base in improv comedy. Which if you're a Game Grumps fan, regardless how you think of him as a singer or as the music, like the dude is funny and he's quick. So to have that, like, I don't know, it's for me, it's just kind of like a perfect synergistic blend of like everything that I like. 80s rock, you know, tongue-in-cheek kind of like fart humor, and just
dicks.
Really talented musician.
All dicks.
We love a good impotency joke. There's so many of them.
I mean, it does. So I'm looking up Dan Avedon. Dan Avedon. He was born in 79, so it kind of makes sense why he's influenced by 80s rock is because he lived through it. And Brian Wecht doesn't have his birthday on his IMDb page.
I mean, I think they're similar.
Oh wait, he does.
Age. I think they're in their 40s.
He's 4 years older than Dan. I did look it up, and it was like Dan Avedon wanted to do a new project, and he got in touch with Brian through a mutual friend at UCB in New York.
Yeah, they're all like improv guys.
And I wonder if they know like Lonely Island or Flight of the Conchords or anyone else, Weird Al even. Like I would love to see like a super group of all these comedy bands. come
Yeah.
together. But like, what's interesting though is that with them, I can only really speak for them because I've been going down a hole, you know, a
Oh,
hole
it is
of
such a
this.
good rabbit hole to go down. I love them so much.
It sounds like the music is serious, but the lyrics are what are silly. And even
Yeah.
in the Mythic Crystal, the lyrics are a little more serious, though funny. It's like they talk about how Ninja Brian gets erectile dysfunction. Or
only Brian,
yeah,
though. Yeah.
Only Brian.
Yeah. Only Brian, though.
Because Dan is the sex machine, I guess. Although there was that other one. There's something about like a raptor. Not what is it called? I've been watching their music videos for this episode because I was like, we need something to talk about besides the
The
12
fact that
minutes.
You have done this for me is just like you. My heart is growing five sizes as we speak.
Huzzah! Another reference.
Yes. Oh, that's the other thing too. Like how it's like kind of on the serious side, how it's kind of like formulated like a symphony. So like there are movements
Yes.
Within the larger piece itself, and the last movement is huzzah, as it were. But yes.
So, I learned of Rush. I know of Rush from like their popular songs, but I learned of their 2112 album from the book Ready Player One,
Yes!
which
Well,
that
very
I
divisive
then
book, but I enjoyed the fuck out of that.
yes, and it felt like Ninja Sex Party fits into that world as well, the
Yeah.
Ready Player One world, where the I was reading that they have that both Dan and Brian are part of another band.
Yeah, so Dan, Dan and Brian, yeah. I was gonna say Jim Roach too, so because I'm also a big fan of Shadow Academy, which is their kind of like more serious endeavor during the pandemic. But yeah, they're
No.
all just kind of they're all
I'm thinking
just
of
kind of like
Starbomb, yeah.
Starbomb. Well, Starbomb is also, well, I was gonna circle back to this. Starbomb is also Aaron Hansen. Which you'll probably come across that name a lot. So Aaron Hansen and Dan Avedon are also like huge just in the gaming community. So the fun like video game tie-in here is so many of the like ancillary characters or like little cameos are actually like other YouTube gamer creators, like Markiplier's in there, Jacksepticeye's in there. Jim Roach is actually in there too. So like the gaming community and this particular like yeah musical community are incredibly tight knit. In fact, like just basically the same Venn diagram.
I mean, I was like, and even in this, it feel in the Mythic Crystal, let me be a little more specific. It feels like everyone there is like a buddy of theirs in
Yeah.
some way, shape, or form. I thought Sean McLaughlin, who plays the roommate, was actually also part of the band, but it seems like Ninja Sex Party is a duo.
Yeah, so Sean McLaughlin is Jacksepticeye. And if you go on YouTube, that talk about another
Got it.
Wormhole or rabbit hole to go down. He gained a lot of popularity during the FNAF era, actually, as did Markiplier. So those guys are all, yeah,
He's
just
saying a
like
lot
a
of
really
words
tight knit
right
group.
now. But I mean,
the twos of people that know what I'm talking about.
But it feels like it is only them two, right? It is only Dan and Brian, or
Yeah,
do they
so
like bring in other musicians?
Ninja Sex Party is traditionally just Dan and Brian. I saw them on tour last year where they brought in the Super Guitar Bros. And Dan has like a really lovely, I think two now acoustic albums with them. And those guys are just like the most brilliant, like classical guitar players.
And then
and
they
they
hire
do a lot of
studio
video game.
musicians to do like to fill out the sound.
Yeah. Jim Roach is like, I keep saying this name over and over again, but he's like their main producing partner. And he's a freaking genius and he just gets them.
I'm surprised that you're the only one I've heard about this band, I think. Like thinking back in
I
the
do
last.
jokingly say, like, I'm spreading the gospel because, like, I feel like once people get into them, it's kind of like,
You un
you
yes.
get it.
Yes, because name me somebody who doesn't like this type of rock and roll. I'll wait. Like
Yeah. No friend of
it's
mine.
fun.
Let's just put it
Oh,
that way.
the video I was thinking about earlier was Dragon Slayer, where that's one of the few that I've seen where Ninja Brian gets the girl, not Dan.
Yeah, Dan, despite his moniker and famously like not successful generally with
Well, so okay,
the
on their
girls.
Wikipedia page, they say that Ninja Sex Party is about, quote, a Jewish superhero who wears a unitard and his best friend who's a ninja, and together they sing songs about dicks and try to hit unsuccessfully on women. First of all, they need to re-edit that sentence to say hit on unsuccessfully women or something else. Like change it around because it made it. When I first read it, I was like, are they saying that they're trying to hit women?
No. Oh yes, there needs to be hit on, hit
Hit
on.
on, hit on. Or say, and try and unsuccessfully hit on women. But yeah, that's what it feels like. And even in the Mythic Crystal, they're pulled into this fantasy realm, if you will.
Yes.
And
Very Lord of the Rings in that animation style, like in the opening too. I love it.
And a little less unicorny. So basically,
Yes.
this is still in your realm of Rankin and Bass.
Yeah, I think within the establishing shot, you get like both a unicorn and a dragon, as well as like a big Misty Mountain like reference.
Oh my goodness. And then I'm sitting there, I'm wondering, like, you have wizards, King. Why don't you just use them to magic your daughter back or whatever? But even in the end of this music video, they don't get the girl. They
My
don't get.
favorite little detail is like whenever they return back to the king after freeing the princess, like Dan's body is broken, so he's being carried by the princess,
Yes. His
which
the,
I love.
I also love the fact that like Dan gets physically injured a lot in
A
this
lot.
one.
That's kind of
And
like
that's
canonic too. Like, Brian has an STD and Danny's fragile. Like, those are two like very, very canon themes that arc throughout many of their albums and their songs.
I D so is this the one that you in I mean obviously I'm a new person to Ninja Sex Party, but you wanted to like make an episode out of it. Would Mythic Crystal though be the one that you introduce to people, or would you do a different, do you change it up depending on who you're talking to?
So, probably not, unless they're like big fantasy nerds. I don't know why I do default to that, just because it's like it's just so funny to me, and usually like people at least like will identify with the humor. I usually start with Welcome to My Parents' House,
Oh,
just
okay.
because it the song itself is like it's very good, it slaps, but like it's just so funny. And it's just hard to kind of like not be enchanted by that particular song. Or some people actually know Danny, did you know? Because I think he performed it on Conan O'Brien like back in the day. Like they got
Yes.
legitimately popular for a hot second. And then some of us still are very much super fans.
Well, so Danny, don't you know? Also, I watched that music video too, and after
Yeah.
a while, I was like, "Is that Finn Wolfhard? Like
Sure is.
baby Finn Wolfhard?" The casting of Finn Wolfhard to be young Dan Avedon, like spectacular,
It's
perfect.
funny that you mentioned this earlier because I've seen this online and it tickles me to no end, is like the direct arc from Finn Wolfhound to Dan to oh my gosh, I just lost him. But Weird Al. If you see that, like
Yes.
you see the progression.
Yeah, it's the Pokemon evolution.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that Weird Al is the final form, but yeah, truly.
I'm here for it. I
I would throw
but
Kenny G in there, like early Kenny G for just a little spice.
I don't have a soprano saxophone.
Just brilliant
So
attempt.
I thank you for this
Oh, you're
introductory to them.
so welcome. You're so welcome.
It did feel like this one was them like having a multi Venn diagram crossover where it's like you get the fantasy slash D&Ders in on it, you get the rock and roll, you get the animation. Why do they do a lot of their videos with animation? Do you know?
I mean, I know that they've just always worked really closely with like a few animators. Oh God, Sucharu is the one that comes to mind. I think I'm saying his name right. But I think then this is kind of speculation, but like just being a child of the times, like cartoons were such like a vital part of my upbringing, and I think a lot of kids our age, it's kind of like the case too. So I think it's just kind of like part of that. You're kind of saying it early, part of that like zeitgeist of like being a kid in like the late 70s, early 80s, and I think this is just kind of like their homage to that.
Because in this one, they do a weird hybrid
Yeah.
that I haven't really noticed in their other ones. But again, I am new to Ninja Sex Party, so
No, usually it's like one or the other. This is one of the few that I can think of that just kind of blends the real life with the animation. But I feel like again, that was like very, very indicative of the times around the early, early 80s, where you had that blend of like animation and real life.
I also really like out of the few music videos I've watched so far that their style is different. I mean, I guess that goes with what you're saying that they collaborate with a lot of different artists, but like
Yes.
there was one where the 6969 is where it's like claymation. This one is a little more like 2D. Last unicorny, what's that one again with the dragon? Dragon Slayer is like semi-anime, semi-modern Cartoon Network, if you will.
Yeah. And then like their latest release, they actually just released a new album, go buy it. Like Galaxy Hamster is another animated one that's like kind of like, yeah, that like kind of stop motion modality.
I mean, I guess it's cheaper to do animation, so this way they can get away with a lot of the shit that they say.
I mean, there is that too.
Like dragons and things like that. And the video game references or 6969 when they're talking to the dick overlords or whatever they call
Or
them.
Mansion Party, where he's like describing like the most like insane celebrity party imaginable.
So it's cheaper and it makes sense. I feel like though, please don't hate me when I say this. I wish though they picked one lane for the Mythic Crystal.
Agree to disagree.
Well, so I liked that they were going for like corny live action when they were humans, and I liked both separately. I wish
Yeah.
though that it was all one or the other. 'Cause like when they started fusing it's not a flat. This is not a flat. This is just my when they
You're
started
entitled to your
fusing
opinion.
the yeah. No, but I'm saying this I didn't flat this because I didn't really have that strong of opinion on it. It's just like when they started having, the animated frog or whatever creatures when they're walking through the cave to go to the necromancer, but it's real life. It did look a little cheesy. Given
Yeah.
what we are doing and what we're talking about, it's a little cheesy, and I was like, oh, just like pick one here. I would love for them to do a whole Muppet.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
I'm imagining it right now, and I would love it. Especially,
If you're a puppeteer and you want to get in touch with Ninja Sex Party to do.
Especially having a little sparkly jumpsuit.
Oh my God. What is it? Land of Confusion, the Phil Collins video where they do like the whole Muppet thing. If they did like a little parody like that, that would be insane.
So now, do they change their costumes for the videos? Like, do they change their looks a little bit?
This particular look is like its whole thing. For the most part, like Danny's signature is like the blue sparkly jumpsuit with the cape. But as you can see from my figurine here, my RPG mini. He has a special little outfit for this particular music video, which I just again
and
like
then
the shoulder pieces, not epaulets, the pauldrons, like everything. It's just so funny. But then you can see like how other elements of the original costume were kind of like factored in. Honestly, the design is great.
But I'm asking, like, it sounds like he's always in a blue jumpsuit of sorts, but like,
yes,
is it always like bell bottomy or flared sleeves, or is it just depending on the
no
needs
it's
of
normally like the same blue jumpsuit with a cape. It's like kind of like his iconic look.
And then Ninja Brian is always in a ninja costume.
Yeah, with a little black with a little yellow emblem in the front generally. Yeah,
and he's serving eyes. He's
just eyes,
just acting with the eyes, and it's perfect. He is the silent Bob of this duo.
Truly. And even during their performances, like, he doesn't talk. Like, they keep the bit.
You see it? Wow.
Yeah. So it's really funny.
So he doesn't sing at all in any of their songs.
He like articulates through the piano. You know what I like? His voice is the piano.
Got
so
it.
like
But like he's
he'll
not
do
doing
like different
harmonies.
Oh no.
That's wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, at least in
Dan
their stage show.
And Dan is a singer, but like, does he also play guitar for the
He
live
plays
shows?
generally no, he's just a front man, but he does play bass guitar.
He's a bassist. Holy
I'm
shit.
nearly I know he definitely plays bass. I think he plays exclusively bass, but I'm not positive.
Well, let's
But like,
see.
look at the band. That's a bass player. Like,
I don't know. I mean, even watching is it Danny, Don't You Know? It was interesting, like, that he's having a conversation with himself. And I know it's a joke and everything, but I was like, no, I feel like this is him reflecting on his childhood and being like, your hair is big and crazy and out of and everything, but like, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna even it out. You're gonna figure out a jump your fashion. You're gonna find your hetero life partner, it feels like.
Oh no, that song has so much heart. Like,
It is,
if you read
yeah.
the lyrics, like, it's beautiful. It's such a like it love letter to like, yeah, it you're the passing of adolescence in like the best way, and saying like, you know, even if you're not gonna become a literal rock star, you know, it gets better. Hang in there.
And the
And I
mythic
think everyone
crystal,
can appreciate that sentiment, like no matter who you are.
it's that that reflecting that a lot of us did in the pandemic, but he did it before, so and that's interesting that this came out, the mythic crystal came out during the pandemic, so this is a pandemic project. A and B, you probably were loving eating it up when it originally came out.
Oh, well, this is kind of like I've got like gotten a deeper appreciation for them, like as I've gone forward. You know what I mean? Like, I really kind of only, like I said, I really started doing the deep dive after The Last Unicorn. But then I was like, oh, these guys are so good. so good. Like, then I went and down, like, you know, I got into Starbomb, I got into Sky Hill, I got into Shadow Academy. Like, just kind of like the gaming community, like these particular, and of course the Super Guitar Pros, these musicians are so close knit and like have their hands in each other's projects in the best way. So there's really just kind of like an endless kind of supply of music from so many different genres that you can kind of go down and enjoy.
Oh,
I
there's
think Sky
one.
Hill also just released a new album recently.
Huh. I'm looking at their film, their discography, and it's, yeah. Keep going, guys. You know, in the last however many years it's been, 13 plus. They have 9 albums? Damn.
Yeah.
That's a holy shit. That's a and
Well,
cause
there's so much music out there.
Well, considering that, like, two, I'm going to count The Prophecy, two of their albums came out during the pandemic or like post pandemic. So, like, obviously, they probably were in quarantine writing, just writing and writing and writing and keep
Not
going.
to talk about a different band, but that, and just because I love them so much, that's kind of how Shadow Academy was born, because Dan was doing a lot of reading about like classic, or reading of classic literature, and he had finished Moby Dick, and he's just like, this is like, these stories are speaking to me. I like, and I love like the mythology and the mythos behind these like classic works of literature, and I want to incorporate them somehow. So Dan would like write some lyrics. He would send the lyrics to Jim, because this is in the height of the pandemic. Jim would like start laying down melody tracks and send that over to Dan, and then Dan would like fine-tune them based off of like whatever he was reading or feeling at the time. There's a huge Moby Dick kind of inspiration, but like you can see, like you can find like other classics kind of peppered throughout. And interestingly enough, there my favorite song of theirs is Once and Nevermore, and that's also an animated music video. So like there are like thematic tie-ins through a lot of their bands. A Starbomb too, lots of animation.
Is Dan part of three bands?
So I know
Because it's Ninja
actively right
Sex
now,
Party.
yeah, Ninja Sex Party, Sky Hill, and Shadow Academy. I
Is
guess I don't
Starbomb
know
no
if
longer a thing?
Starbomb, I don't know if they're actively recording, but yeah, he's definitely part of them.
Holy
And then,
shit.
like I said, he does a lot of other collaborations, like just vocally.
Well, and then he has his first band that I'm seeing was the Northern Hughes,
Right.
which released two albums in 2004 and in 2005. And I guess that was what then led him to do, well, that led him to do Sky Hill, which then he did Ninja Sex Party and then Starbomb. Oh, and then
Yeah.
Shadow Academy. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
He is soup's busy.
Soup's this, and like this isn't even how I know him. Like I was bored during the pandemic, and I just started watching lots of D&D content and Let's Plays, because those things are fucking long. They're like, so you can sit down for 6 hours and watch somebody play a video game or a TTRPG. So I got into the
Yes,
Game Grumps
words.
because they were, yeah, truly, someone out there will get it. But they just had such like amazing chemistry, and they were so funny. And Aaron's a voiceover guy, so like he's friends with Matt Mercer and shit. So like their particular brand of humor and like camaraderie, just like, I kept going back to them again and again and again. Just they were striking just this chord, and especially when I was just so desperate to connect with something, and to just watch two like lifelong friends. Just it was so comforting to just consume that content. Oh God, that was tangential. I forget where we were going with this, but
I mean, it
yeah,
sounds like
he's very busy. He does a lot. That was the
he's
point.
very busy. And then let's look at Brian.
Brian's actually like a brilliant, he's a teacher, gosh, a physicist or something like that. Like he's so smart, and he just like, he was living in London at the time with his wife, and he was just like, you know what? I'm going to move back to the States and do this like silly parody band full time. It's like such a leap of faith.
He's only in Ninja Sex Party and Starbomb.
Funny you should mention that. He also just released an album. I tried to buy it, but it was sold out. Of smooth jazz,
As
I think
Trey
his
Magnifique.
Trey Magnifique, yes. So he has some solo stuff too. He tours just solo as well. Obviously, above and beyond the Ninja Brian persona, where he does actually, interact with the audience, or speak, I should say.
Yeah, he's a theoretical physicist.
Yes.
He has a PhD in particle physics in
Which is funny
2004.
because,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's funny, there's a song, I Want to Do Math With You, which kind of, he had to have a hand in, because it's all about, like, a physicist meeting an applied mathematician, and, like, how their love is just so much hotter because of math.
I guess that plays into the Mythic Crystal as well, with the portal and everything. And you must have been like, so if we're going through a portal, things have to happen to us.
Yes, exactly. Well, we are going to not get through this unscathed. We are going to be altered.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's another band that they often collaborate with, and I always get their name wrong. It's an acronym, and I always get it wrong. TWRP.
Oh.
The Tupperware Remix Party.
Tupperware Remix Party. Jesus Christ.
I mean, they are, like, just straight up, like, 80s electronica. They're all masked as different animals. Like, there's, like, a guitar player.
I'm seeing their picture, and that makes sense, because I think some of them make an appearance in some of the videos I've been watching.
Yeah, for sure. They're a longtime collaborator with the band. I'm actually going to go see them in New York this summer.
Nice.
I think they're playing Hammerstein Ballroom or something. I have to look at the tickets, but yeah.
Maybe Dan will show up as well.
Oh, me. He's from New Jersey. All my favorite guys are from New Jersey. Shout out to Gerard Way. Sorry, people. We're not going to gender it. People.
Some musicians, great musicians, are from Jersey. Did we really talk about the music video? I know we kind of have.
There's been a lot of, like, back lore, for sure.
Yeah. So what's interesting about, because, okay, the song The Mythic Crystal, which is all 12 minutes of the music video and everything, that they didn't add anything. It's an adventure story, basically.
Yes.
It's a quest, as they say. Is this their only quest song, really?
No, I would say 6969 is absolutely a quest song. It's futuristic.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So it's more sci-fi versus fantasy, but, like, yeah.
Because this one, they go on a quest to save the princess, because from space magic, they got pulled to this other universe.
Yes.
This is wild.
I think it's just, like, so this is, like, such a dream. Like, you're just, like, kind of perpetuating this, like, kid fantasy about, like, I'm gonna talk about dicks and, like, make really cool music and, like, ride a unicorn, like,
and save the space princess.
Yes.
But not get any reward.
Not get one single,
no,
no, not one booty to be had.
Not one booty.
I didn't want to be crass.
Dicks. Dicks
enormous.
Well, you're on, so of course this is going to be a short episode. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get
into
the second slide?
I mean, I think this is indicative of, like, so much about of what the band is about. It's, there is, like, a reverence here for, like, the source material, both being, like, epic fantasy, prog rock, like 80s hair bands. Like, there's real love here, and respect for what's being presented. But then again, like, it's so funny and silly. And, like, to your point, I love that they just, like, involve all of their friends. Like, I'm sure this thing was, like, the funnest thing to shoot ever.
Or you never know. I feel like comedy people are always very serious about filming, because they're like, it's all about the timing. You need to, it's work. It's not like, well, yes, that's probably it. Especially with all these YouTube personalities these days that are now realizing that they have mini TV series that are happening.
Yeah.
And so they have to like go with the times and get a little more serious than, you know, Nut Punches or something like that.
What's interesting that you mentioned that. I feel like, you know, with the advent of like MatPat kind of going his own way and like embracing adulthood, essentially, you know, I feel like there's kind of an old guard that's kind of leaving. And I think YouTube has always been kind of like a young person's platform anyway. But now these like older content creators, there's been kind of like a mass exodus. I mean, I don't think that'll be the case here because, you know, it's rooted in music and that's kind of perpetual.
Banger
music. Yeah, I think the culture is changing online.
Why are they called Ninja Sex Party, by the way? Do you know?
I feel like I used to know like the exact origin. I'm sure I can look it up. That's like such a basic question that I feel like I should absolutely know the answer to. And I was like, should I? I actually have the comic book that Joe Crow, who's a friend of Dan's, illustrated, called "Becoming Ninja Sex Party," and I'm like, is it in here?
If you don't know, I mean, maybe somebody will know. I'll put it out into the world. That's a question I'll ask again at the end of the episode for the listeners.
Oh, okay. No, I found it. I found it right away.
Okay, great.
He actually had chosen the name like before, like the band got popular, because Ninja Sex Party is everybody's three favorite things.
I knew that was a simple reasoning behind it.
Oh my god, same. I was like, obviously.
My thought was that they're personas, because you have Ninja Brian and Danny Sexbang, even though, according to the Wikipedia page, Sexbang was not the original name he was going to do Danny Sweetnuts. But so you have Ninja Brian, Danny Sexbang, and then Party, because they're fun comedy band. Listen, I was just trying to justify
the name came first, I think, and then the personas came second. Like everything just kind of fell into place after that.
Now that makes more logical sense than whatever I just said. All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat.
Yep, let's do it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I do have a flat, but it's not for them at all.
Okay.
It's a dumb flat that I have. And it's YouTube and their fucking commercials. Because this is 12 minutes long, so obviously they need to put a commercial in the middle of it. And I was like, you guys, go fuck yourselves. I want to watch the whole thing. I do have a natural, which is what I said earlier. My natural is them jumping in between the animation and the live action.
Yeah.
Again, I did like both. It's just that I wish they picked one over the other for the final product. I don't know. I don't care which, though. Like, yeah. if they wanted to do, or if they wanted to have two music videos where one of them is them doing it all live action, another one's them doing it all animation, I would enjoy all of that content. Because I feel like with the animation, again, you can do anything. Did you have any other flats besides YouTube?
I mean, I guess I understand your natural, but again, I feel like, again, this was something that was a love letter to like those kind of formulaic, cheesy 80s videos of yore. I like the elements of him like kind of doing the whole like silhouette, shoulders up shot, like a la Queen, you know, with a, you know, the filters and everything like that, with the princess off to the side. Like, I don't know, you couldn't have those moments if it were just animation. But I think the animation brings so much fantasy and heart to it. Like, yeah. I love both of them. And I do kind of like the fact that it's like cheesy and low budget. Because again, like, back in the day, the CGI wasn't a thing. You just had, you know, practical sets and effects. So it's just, again, yeah, I think it really.
Oh, when they go into the cave, when they go into the cave and it's live action, I was eating it up. I was like, yes, Yes, give me all of this. Yes. When they're in with the king. Yes. Even though they called him
old,
gross and old.
Gross
and I was
old.
Like, he's not the old. That
no, he's a straight
isn't.
One-to-one from like Elrond. He looks exactly like Elrond from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Damn it.
Hugo
okay.
Weaving. There's his name.
Yes. Sharps.
Also, can I just Sharps? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've just jumped in.
We're there
in front of you.
You go with your Sharps.
Okay. Again, just the amount of nostalgia packed into this 12 minutes for me it's like my favorite thing. I loved movies like this growing up, Neverending Story, these like epic fantasies, these like journey quests, these heroes quests.
Yes.
And then again, the musicianship, it doesn't have to go this hard, and yet it does, and it does it very well. Dan's voice is incredible. I forget how many octaves it fan, but it's stupid. I'll give it its own Sharp. Just Dan Avidan's hair, just in this music video as an entity of in and of itself, is glorious.
I would love to hear them do Panic at the Disco's cover of Into the Unknown from Frozen 2.
I just creamed my jeans.
You're welcome, everyone. I really only have two Sharps. I did like the whole thing, but these are the ones that I'm just like, ooh, you're fun. The Dan's glitter jumpsuit, which that's his costume, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Love it. I fucking love it. I got him. I understood that he also kind of reminded me of The Darkness. The little thing called Love. I believe in a thing called Love. Them.
Just listen to their heart.
It wasn't like they were ripping from them. It just, I saw some sort of connections that I don't know if they meant to do. And it's really just the glitter jumpsuit.
I wouldn't put it by.
Yeah. And then.
They draw from different wellsprings of inspiration across the board. So.
100%. Oh, yeah. They just consume all the music. And.
Yeah.
Yeah. My other Sharp is for the Welcome Die mat. Because I was like, I need that. I need that in my life. Yeah. Okay, so usually I end the episodes by, you know, asking if we'll add the songs to our life's playlist, but there's only one song. So I'm going to change this for you. And this is tailor-made question just for you, Battles. Which album would you recommend the most? Under the Covers 2.
Under the Covers 2. Yeah. Because, like, as funny and as much as I love, 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 love their original work, and do not get me wrong, I freaking love it. I just think that particular covers album really encapsulates, like, what fantastic musicians these guys are across the board.
It's looking, oh, and that has TWRP as their backup band.
Yeah.
That is cool. It's interesting that Weezer did their Teal album was their covers album, and a lot of the songs that they did I'm seeing are being covered a lot by other bands, and like the first one on Under the Covers 2 is Africa, and
one of my favorite fucking songs of all time. That song is on any entity, like any radio, movie, whatever. It's like I hear it for the first time and I get just as excited each and every, like, oh my God. It's such top five songs in all of history for me, for sure.
Under the Covers, Volume 2. You were seeing me live. Purchase this album. You see it?
He did it, ladies and gentlemen.
I purchased it. It's downloading.
Well, now that you have, I will send you my ultimate covers, NSP covers playlist, because it has 1 and 2, and then everything that he did recently with Super Guitar Bros, like the acoustic stuff, are also covers. So you have like the most beautiful version of Don't Stop Believing I've ever heard. Just so pared down. They do Kiss from a Rose by Seal. A bunch of Sting stuff. Like, oh, That's a
I'm
great
looking
album as well.
on their third Under the Covers Volume 3, and like these songs are also amazing.
Yeah.
Again, I would love for them, if anybody knows Dan Avedon or wants to cameo him, not Battles, please don't spend your money again on him. Have somebody else do it this time. Have them do The Neverending Story, because that feels like it was made for them to cover,
yeah,
or to do.
I have talked to the graphic novelist Joe Crow that I mentioned. Not only does he does like amazing stuff with NFP as an IP, but just such a cool graphic artist in general, or graphic novelist in general. We have spoken over Instagram, so I might, after this comes out, I might slip into his DMs and be like, just so you know, we talk about you on this like random podcast, and also, can you let him know?
Let him know that he has a new convert, and B, the new convert suggests to do The Neverending Story, because I think that would be amazing. I'm trying to hear it. And the like layered harmonies that he does with his voice, it would work for that.
Oh, it would be beyond. Yeah, it would be amazing. It would work beyond. Yeah.
Wow.
I've just been like stuttering and blushing for the past like 25 minutes.
You're welcome.
I hope this is comprehensible to anyone listening, because I've just basically been on like just the 45 minutes straight high.
Well, because before we started, I was like, just get ready, I can't tell you anything right now. I think you went and you got your action figures and you changed and put on your sweatshirt, because you're like, I'm gonna need comfort, because I have a feeling John's gonna rip into this bullshit. What, how dare he? And then I just made it a love fest, and now you're like, fuck yes!
Yes! Yeah, I put on my armor.
And you didn't need it!
I didn't need it. The armor was the friends we made along the way. I should bring out my autographed Shadow Academy album.
Well, Battles.
I'm in deep.
On that note, we're done with the episode.
Sincerely, like, I want to say this with as much sincerity and heart as possible. Like, I, you know, these are such talented people, and they have a following, sure, but you know, they're not the most well-known musicians out there. And the fact that you took time to let me celebrate them as a super fan, and also like spend your hard-earned money like supporting them, like that means the world. And if you know, one other person hears this and says like, oh, I'll try out that cover album and give them a listen, you know, then again, I'm spreading the gospel.
Spread the gospel.
I'm a
besides
convert.
Besides the gospel, what do you have to plug or promote?
Oh, I actually have something. Actually, this Dan Avedon Danny Sexbang sweater features prominently in my new web series, which, if it's not released by the time that this airs, it will be shortly thereafter, Charms for Less. Please check out Charms for Less series on Instagram and TikTok. Everything is edited. It's ready to go. We just have to kind of like strategize our release. But yeah, it is, again, a love letter to everything that I hold dear in this world.
Can you give us what the IMDb summary would be?
Yes. Definitely not any sort of autobiographical influence at all. A feckless romantic has just been dumped by someone. And in order to feel like she has control over her life, she seeks out the occult, specifically this Wiccan pagan store, to kind of solve her romantic woes. And the other character featuring prominently is my writing partner, KL Thomas. Her character, Tabitha, is kind of feeling down on her luck and
disenfranchised with her calling as a Wiccan sorceress power. And it turns out that it's a buddy comedy. And they just, they kind of like find what they need in each other. And I'm not giving anything away, but it's kind of like the greatest love of all is the one that you don't expect to find.
And
kind
where
of situation.
Where will people be able to watch this? On YouTube?
So
is there a website?
We're going to release it on YouTube. They're short. The longest episode is the pilot, and that's like 6 minutes. So we're going to release it on YouTube, on Instagram, and on TikTok.
Say it again.
The number 4 and then less.
Charms for less.
Yes.
Fascinating. And if you, again, if you know Dan Avedon and can...
Tell him I'm not crazy.
I mean...
Just a fan. I am crazy, but like harmlessly.
We always joke that like, whenever Battles is on, because we always bring up his name and everything, that you all probably are wasted by this point if you're doing a shot every time we say
his name.
But if you know him, let him know that we want to hear him do Neverending Story, and then tell me that you told him by emailing me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. Okay, so Battles said the album that she recommends. What is your Ninja Sex Party album that you recommend to people to listen to? I'd love to hear about it. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, God damn it. Well, we're going to be talking about the Seventh Heaven musical episode, Red Sox. Battles, thank you so much for...
Oh, thank you. Like, truly, this has made my week. I know it's only Monday, but it's gonna be a highlight.
I know that this is I gave you the space to just let loose, but hey, you're gonna bring up Ninja Sex Party at some point in a future episode.
Anytime I'm on, it's probably just gonna happen.
And thank you everyone for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.